Small craft advisory is in effect until 9 p.m. Northwest winds will be 15 to 25 knots with gusts up to 30 knots, diminishing to 10 to 15 knots after midnight. Wind waves 6 to 7 feet. KSEO Newstalk time, 8:06. Time now for Elephant in the Room with Chris, Ron, and Brandon. Enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSEO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Little late.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Yeah, another night.
Another night.
Work at waking up the bear. The bear is California, and she is awakening.
That's right. We just finished Elephant in the Room, and we are now Wake the Bear. Little joke on our sound guy there. Hey, anyway, this is going to be a powerful week. I am just looking forward to it. There are so many things. This week it's been actually crazy to me.
It's a crazy week. It's also a special week. It's Holy Week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we're going to be talking about the greatest betrayal of humanity that turned out to be the greatest win for all humanity.
Yeah, and that's the theme of tonight's show is actually infiltration and betrayal. And so we're going to go with a pattern here because we all feel like we're feeling that.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the most important betrayal and how did that end?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously Holy Week, we just celebrated the triumphal entry, which was the sacrifice was brought into into Jerusalem. We're celebrating that moment where Jesus was brought in and they were hailing him as the chosen one. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Palm Sunday. They brought him in, cheered him. The people cheered him on. It was the selected sacrifice, but they didn't fully understand it. It was God's sacrifice for all humanity, which was following the 10th day of Nisan, which is the first month of the Jewish calendar. On that 10th day, that was the day that it was selected.
You choose your lamb.
You choose your lamb. And he was lifted up on a donkey, and he came in, they cheered, and then he lives in the Father's house for 4 days. You bring the lamb into the house for 4 days, and on the fourth day, it's sacrificed for the sins of the people.
Yeah. Now, why do you bring him in for 4 days? Why do you hang on to him?
Well, I think it's so we feel it. We feel it, what it means to be, to have our sins be taken by something that we love, someone that we love is taking our sin for us.
Mm.
So we feel it.
So you don't just buy him like an hour before the sacrifice, like, I'll take that one over there.
Well, no, and the interesting thing about it is that when he came in on Palm Sunday, he came into his Father's house. So he came into Jerusalem, and what did he say? He turned over the tables and said, this is my Father's house, which should be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. He turned over the tables. He cursed the fig tree, and it shriveled. He taught in the temple for 4 days, just like they would bring in the lamb to their home for 4 days. So he was in his Father's house for 4 days, and then the people who cheered him on then crucified him.
Now, your timeline, you know, we've been talking a little bit offline on this. We happen to be on the same timeline, but it's not what most people celebrate. You know, they celebrate the Good Friday, Sunday morning scenario, and I did for many years.
And I still do celebrate it.
Yeah.
Because it's the church calendar. However, and this is not an essential, but I think it's powerful, is that the 10th day of Nisan is the Sunday before. Then the 14th day is a Wednesday. So therefore, there is no Monday, Thursday, Good Friday. Because that's, Jesus said, I will be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. So if you don't have it on Wednesday, he's not actually in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, which would contradict his actual words. Now, some scholars will say, oh, he's half a day here, half a day there, full day here. And then it kind of, because Jewish days are different than, it's not. No, it does. That's actually.
Still going with 72 hours.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So we're questioning. So get this here. As a bunch of Christians here, we're questioning even the traditions of men that violate the authority of Scripture. which is our tradition as Protestants. I mean, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door, and he said, these 95 things need to change with the church, the Catholic Church. And, of course, they didn't change them. They kicked them out. There's one that didn't get changed, and that would be the exact time of Jesus's crucifixion. So,
yeah, it's actually an interesting year because there's a convergence of all three of the major religious holidays. Ramadan's going on right now, Passover, and Resurrection Day. I don't even want to call it Easter.
Yeah, Resurrection Day.
Resurrection Day. Yeah. They all converge, and this is the first time in a long time that the three religious holidays have converged. So it just feels significant to me.
Absolutely. You know, for me, when I had realized that it was a Wednesday night cut off in the midst of the week, mm-hmm. and a late Saturday night, which is the beginning of our Sunday, according to a Jewish way, it became alive to me because, you know, I saw things that contradicted, right? You know, one of the things they said is the women, they waited till after the Passover to buy the spices, but then they prepared the spices before the Passover. And it's like, well, that's a contradiction.
There was two Passovers.
No, two Sabbaths.
Excuse me, two Sabbaths. One Passover, two Sabbaths, right?
Yes.
Two preparation days.
Yeah, John says it's a high day Sabbath, which meant a yearly Sabbath. That was Passover. And then you have your weekly Sabbath. So they waited till after the Passover, the yearly Sabbath, to buy the spices, but when they were done preparing the spices, then they rested on the weekly Sabbath.
Right.
You know, that's just one of several things.
So,
but anyway.
So we're getting caught up probably in the details of that. Yeah. Some of you may love this stuff, some of you may not, but there is a theme here. What happened to Jesus on the night where he was arrested is that he was betrayed by his friends, by his friend.
Mm.
He was betrayed with a kiss. He literally said, you'd betray the Son of Man with a kiss. And that was the sign that Judas had. He said, well, the one I kiss is the Messiah, because it's the middle of the night and you can't see people at night. You know, if there's not a moon, you barely see people. He says, I'll kiss the one who's Jesus, and then you guys arrest him. So he was betrayed with a kiss. This is the theme for tonight. Tonight is about infiltration and betrayal, because what is happening on the earth right now is a betrayal of California. It's a betrayal of the people of California. It's a betrayal of the nation of the United States. And it's a betrayal of all humanity. And we are seeing that go on right now. And we're feeling it. I mean, I tell you what, I feel it this week. When I looked at the people in the towers by the CCP, 25 million people starving to death right now in China with a lockdown in its third week. And people are saying, we're starving. And they're screaming out the windows, we're starving.
Yeah.
I feel it.
Yeah, I think what Brandon's talking about is Tucker Carlson did a expose on Shanghai, and China's back in super lockdown mode, making the Wuhan days where we saw the first, what horrified me, that seems minor to what they're doing now. They have, 24 million people in Shanghai.
One of the largest cities in the world.
Yeah, and it's one of the most affluent cities in China, and they are being locked down. The CCP has instituted hell on earth, as far as I can see.
The streets are empty. I've been there about 25 times. I've gone to China
goodness.
About 25, but I've been to Shanghai at least almost 20 times. Beautiful city. I mean, it's amazing. But, I mean, the horror stories I'm hearing, you know, from the Tucker Carlson coverage.
And we'll put that link in the show notes.
In the show notes.
Basically, and it was on YouTube, but taken down, and then now it's on BitChute and probably on Rumble as well. So you have to kind of find it because it's actually so shocking. They're, like, bagging people's cats and putting them on the street to kill them. They're killing people's animals.
Yeah.
They're locking their doors and keeping them indoors, and they're starving them to death. And this is the Communist Party of China, and just to let you know, this is not out of character for communist regimes. They starve their people to death because, one, their economies fail, and two, they don't care about their people. Their life is not precious to them because they're not founded on the Word of God and the ideal that all men are created in the image and likeness of God and created equal.
They have this term COVID zero. Do either of you know what that means?
I think they want zero cases, and so it doesn't take much to trigger. It's not like a massive wave of sick people.
In order to lock down the city, if there is one case, case, they're going to lock down the city. And literally, there's a CNN reporter that Tucker Carlson was referring to that was stuck there, and he stated that police were padlocking people into their homes, and you could hear the moaning and the crying, and there's a drone that being flown around the city, and it said, control your soul's desire for freedom. It was such an indoctrination.
Control your soul's desire for freedom. Yeah. Isn't that the system of the beast telling every, hey, Californians, hey, Americans, control your soul's desire for freedom. This is needed.
This is for your own good.
This is for your own good.
Yeah. It's bad news. So what else has happened this week? Okay.
There's bad news and there's good news. And I want to make sure that we keep jumping back and forth. Yeah. No one. and it, just let you know, it's 8:16 here at KSEO Radio. We're going to take calls at 479-1080. So call in at 8:35 KSEO Radio 1080 is AM on the dial, and it's 479-1080. Call in at probably 35 is when we'll start taking calls. So let's okay. So what are the wins? What are the losses, Chris?
Well, I'll name some wins. One of my favorite in the California legislation is Kevin Kiley, and he's introducing two bills. One is AB 2902, and if you write or call your congressperson, we tend to do it when we're upset, but tell them that you want Kevin Kiley's bill to go through. He wants to limit a state of emergency to 30 days in California. He also has an ACA, which isn't a bill. It's a form of a bill. It's ACA 13, and it protects sheriffs who've refused to fire their officers for medical decisions. So it really is a win. And God bless Kevin Kiley, because he sometimes must feel like he's a lone ranger out there out there on the prairie, and it's a wild, wild west.
Yeah, thank you for Kevin Kiley. Kevin Kiley, we thank you publicly. You are taking up the job of protecting us. You're taking up the job of protecting the Constitution. We put people in a position to protect our rights, not to protect every other thing, or to make us keep us safe. Your job is not to keep us safe. Your job is to protect our rights. That's the job of our government.
So God bless you, Kevin.
Yeah, God bless you, man.
Okay, any others?
I would say a win would be Sean Foyt rallied a couple hundred parents, like looks like about 600 parents, to go to Disney and in Burbank and rallied a rally saying, hey, stop the indoctrination of our children, which it came to be known that Disney's upper ups are actually pedophiles, and they're wanting to continue to indoctrinate children with transgenderism. I mean, little kids, we're talking 4, 5, 6. They want to get them when they're young so they can brainwash them to say this is an acceptable lifestyle, because they know if you let the kids just say what they think, they're going to go, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, they're going to be there tomorrow, too.
Well, there's a certain percentage the Disney Corporation wanted to have in their movies, in their shows, that would portray their key characters as transgender, gay, or lesbian. And it was high above the average, what the normal population is. But they felt like that was an important piece of the narrative. I know that the CEO of Disney has a transgender and a bisexual, I believe, child, even though they are still minors.
You know, I'm really out. I'm happy for all the moms who, when their girls went through their period of a period of time where they were tomboys, that they didn't put them on puberty blockers.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
because how many girls go through tomboy stages?
Well, that was me. I was climbing the trees and I was trying to outrun the guys. And so, if somebody had identified that is not a normal behavior for a girl, I would have been mortified. But I was championed in my athleticism and told to yay, go run fast, run as fast as you can.
Cheer on the tomboys. Yes. Right. And don't put them on puberty blockers.
Okay, anything else?
Well, I would say that the win that goes along with Disney, Sean Foyt rallying these guys, 350,000 people dropped Disney Plus in 5 days.
That is good. I was like really encouraged that there are people reacting. And you know what? I would just say out to our audience, you know, there's always something we can do.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be something like that. It could be forwarding something or listening to something, but do something each day. Before you go to bed, go, what did I do today to help wake up my fellow community members, you know?
And to proclaim freedom and to encourage people and to protect the Constitution. What I think if you look at it all, it's so much that it can be overwhelming. We just want to encourage you. Listen, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So do something.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the California Sacramento Lobbying Day that's coming up on April 19th. It's Tuesday, April 19th at 9 a.m., and they're going to be meeting at the state capitol at the Hyatt Hotel and at the capitol itself in Sacramento. And this is an opportunity to fight against some of the worst bills that are being sent through in California history. They're particularly targeting AB 2223, which is the infanticide bill. And I know its author, Buffy Wicks, it's saying, oh, it's not an infanticide bill. But if you read it, it clearly allows for the slippery slope of legalization or not being prosecuted if you're found with the demise of a child. That's your fault.
It's decriminalizing infanticide. I mean, that's what it is doing. It's saying you kill your baby and your doctor helps you kill your baby after it's born. It's okay. You won't be prosecuted. That is pure evil. Now, so, you know, we got some wins here, but this would be considered a loss because this passed, right?
And well, it passed.
It progressed.
Yes, it's progressing right now. Where it is it went through the Judiciary Committee with which Mark Stone, our assembly person here in Santa Cruz, is the chair, and he championed it right on through that committee. It had the majority vote. Right now, I believe it's with the Health Committee, and it needs to get through there by April 18th, or it will die in committee. And then it goes before the House vote, and it'll need to be brought up before the House on May 27th. So keep your eye on the calendar. Continue to call in.
Yes.
Continue. But what we were talking about was this lobbying day, and anybody's invited to go up on Tuesday, the 19th of April at 9 o'clock and be part of this lobbying. You can Google it, Karen England. It's kengland@capitalresource.org has information how you can learn to be a lobbyist. You don't need any experience. You just go up and you are part of the people of California who are lobbying their representatives for what they want to be represented for.
Yes, and that's their job, is to represent us. It's a representational government. We democratically elect representational government for them to represent what we want. And I'm telling you right now, I don't want them to betray humanity by making it okay to kill babies.
Absolutely. That's
the last part of a culture that's fully decayed. The Romans and the Greeks, infanticide was the latter parts of the destruction and demise of those cultures. That's where we're at, folks. We need to wake up.
The devaluing of human life,
yep.
You know, and then once you're down that slope, it's no coming back. It's like destruction.
Yeah.
So hopefully we don't get that far.
I've got just one short piece of positive news. I mean, you got to get a little bit of levity about this. It's Governor Greg Abbott, governor of Texas. He's trying to guard his border. You know, he's building the wall. He's got the National Guard there on the border. And basically, he has set up a system that any of the illegals, they're going to reroute to Washington, D.C. on charter buses.
Yeah.
And so they have a system to collect people who are crossing the border in his state. And he wants to help local officials whose communities are being overwhelmed by hordes of illegal immigrants. And so this is his solution, is charter buses to Washington, D.C.
Wow. I was hoping Martha's Vineyard, but I guess that one, because D.C. is already an S-hole already.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But well, it'll make it even worse.
Well, I mean, so this is... You know, obviously, this is a win. So we're talking wins and losses. And tonight's theme, of course, going back to, is infiltration and betrayal. People have infiltrated our government who are not there representing us. They are not representing the will of the American people or the California people. They're representing the will of Big Pharma, their lobbyists, the people that they are in bed with, they are betraying humanity. They're betraying the people that put them there. And so going back to, you know, the betrayal of Jesus, what was the phrase that he used? You know, with a kiss, you betray me. And then also you look at Shakespeare. What was the one in Shakespeare? Caesar.
Et tu, Brutus.
I think he was stabbed, like 33 senators stabbed him.
Yes. Yeah. He was betrayed by his best friend, and that was his way of saying, there's no one that I can trust, not even my best friend. Mm-hmm. And so that's how many of the American people feel right now. They're wondering, who is left in Washington? Who is left in the state legislation that is standing up for them? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple other ones that are betrayal here. I mean, you've got the Supreme Court nomination.
That is a major betrayal. I mean, this is a lady who couldn't define what a woman is, and yet people that we thought were friends, quote, you know, Republicans, I guess. I'm not saying they're all good, but
no.
It's just like, what?
They betrayed us. Three who should be conservative.
Wasn't it four?
Four of them. Jumped ship and voted for this nomination.
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ketanji Jackson, she has been confirmed as a future SCOTUS. But I'll tell you, there's still some, they're going to do some review. They're calling for some review, but it is a betrayal. She'll be supposedly replacing Justice Stephen Breyer, who hasn't yet stepped down. And the primary criteria, she's a smart lady. She has good education, but unfortunately, she was targeted because of her ethnicity and her gender. And I just think that shuts some choices down, that it's reverse discrimination.
Mm. It should be a meritocracy. Meritocracy is the best person gets the job, not the right ethnicity and gender. That is a betrayal of the principles of Martin Luther King Jr.
I was just going to say Martin Luther King, you know, that we be judged not by the color of our skin, mm-hmm. and she's being judged by the color of her skin not by the content of her character.
Right. And if you can't define what a woman, not in this context, I can't define what a woman is. What you're going to be defining the laws of the land. You can't define a woman.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
That's evil.
And what's the other thing that she's known for right now?
It's pedophiles. 100%. Like there's like 8 major trials that she voted 100% to grant leniency to people who have child pornography on their computers or proliferating child pornography. So, I mean, since that's a big deal right now, going on with Ukraine, going on with government officials who have been implicated, going on with the Ghislaine Maxwell case.
Yeah.
Big. So guess who wants a judge that will go lenient on
pedophiles?
Them if it goes to the Supreme Court. Our own government officials who have been caught up in the Ghislaine Maxwell. That's why they were saying they want her. She'll be able to get us off.
Yeah.
That's evil.
Yeah, there's less about supporting the Constitution than there was about pro-abortion, and she is supportive of the National Abortion Rights Action League. She's soft towards violent crime, child rapists, and repeated child pornography criminals.
Speaking of child pornography, you know, we got our favorite person in the news, right? Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden.
He's come back because he was in the news for a while, and then I went, real quiet, crickets. And then a guy named Jack Maxey comes along and says, you know what, I have had it. I have given this laptop to a number of senators. He's given it to even Chuck Grassley, you know, a Republican senator, a head of the commission there. And then you've got FBI, CIA, intelligence. I mean, he has given it just about everybody that is anybody in Washington, and nobody is doing anything. So he's like, forget it. I'm just going to do it myself. So he goes to Switzerland.
So he goes into hiding.
Goes into hiding,
because he knows he's going to be exposing the deep state with this laptop, and then he gives it to a bunch of people while he's in hiding so that he doesn't get killed, basically, right? Because, I mean, the long list of people that signed the bill, the CIA...
The next page.
It was the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the long list?
The long list is who signed the letter that said it was a phony laptop.
All former CIA.
Yes, these are the former...
intelligence.
So let's just review a little bit. Why is the Hunter laptop important to us as Americans?
Yeah, what do we care about what's on the guy's laptop?
Well, it's not just the child porn and all that illegal activity. It's national security. He's got Department of Defense security keys on there, and he doesn't even work for them. So it's like, how did he get those keys? And so that's a really – and it was just till, what, 2 weeks ago that they actually revoked his access. I mean, they've had a year knowing this. And this is where I believe God is in control. It was like a gift that this laptop was found. I mean, he left it, right?
It's almost like he was crying out for help. I'm in deep.
It could be.
And why don't you you tell us, Chris? What is who has seen the laptop? What's the deal here?
Well, it seems that Hunter's laptop is it really does show some evidence of worldwide operation by the Biden family to cash in on Joe Biden's position. First, you know, he got his family benefited when he was a senator. And by world leaders, he's done a lot of world going around the world and getting people to want to benefit and pay for play from his position so that he can find out what it is that they need and he can vote in favor of that. As a vice president, we know that's when the Burisma situation in Ukraine happened, and now as president, a Senate report has actually come out and stated that Hunter was involved with millions and millions of dollars worth of questionable transactions with the Chinese nationals. And they're not just businessmen, they are CCP.
Well, that's
operatives.
That's key. If you are a businessman in China, you are directly connected to the CCP. It's not like it is here where you can just be a businessman. You actually are an asset to the CCP. And unfortunately, many of our businessmen and many of our leaders and people in Hollywood are assets to the CIA. So there is some comparison, but it's not as much. If you are a businessman and you are acting on China's interests, you're actually an asset to the CCP.
Yeah, and so somehow this laptop was injured or destroyed or had a water problem, and he took it in to John Mac Isaac in Delaware into a computer shop, and John was able to fix it, and John saw some things he was very concerned about. He was a patriot, and so he made a copy, and he gave that copy he gave a copy to the FBI and called Hunter to come get his laptop, and Hunter never came back to get it.
Yeah.
So basically, the information that's on there that is clearly evidence it's an evidence of crimes, okay? It's never been filed as evidence, according to Jack Maxey, right? It's an obvious national security information. There's evidence of human trafficking, prostitution, drug abuse, child abuse, and nobody has done anything with it. It's clearly abuse. It's clearly criminal behavior, and none of the people whose job it is to prosecute crimes have said anything about it. In fact, a lot of them have signed letters saying it's just Russian misinformation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and these are the people that you would think we should be trusting, and they have betrayed us.
Yeah, the timing on it too is it was found before the election, and so it would have been significant had it been made known to the public. But as soon as it came out, and it was, the story came out, it was broken by the Washington Post, the New York Post, not the New York Times, the New York Post, okay, which is more conservative. They broke the story, and immediately Washington came out with a letter from 51 ex-spies, and some of them actually were currently working in intelligence positions, to say, even though they had not examined the laptop, this just doesn't feel right. We think it's Russian disinformation. Yeah. And these were enough to sway the public to go, well, maybe this just sounds a little sensational. And many of them were national intelligence officers, former CIA directors. And, of course, we have Leon Panetta from our area, who was a former CIA director and defense secretary of defense, like the highest defense position in our nation.
Wow.
And his signature was on it, as well as John Brennan.
John Brennan, former CIA director. Listen to all these. Former CIA director, now an analyst for NBC and MSNBC. You've got Jim Clapper, former director of national intelligence, now a CNN pundit. Mike Hayden, former CIA director, now an analyst for CNN. I mean, this is wicked. People that were part of the secret society called the CIA, who are basically giving their name that this is all misinformation. No, so here's the question. Why would they do that? Why would they put their name to it saying it's misinformation?
Well, especially because these positions should be nonpartisan.
Right.
And it's obvious that they're more left-leaning in such a way that they're able to control the narrative of what's coming out. The bad news from Biden's laptop is coming out, and it really was an attempt to control voters.
Yeah. Even a Judas Kiss from Fox News, they wouldn't take it 3 weeks before. Mm-hmm. They're just like, no, this is too hot. And, you know, so they had the New York Times, they had Fox News, they had even the Daily Mail. Yeah, they wouldn't take it at first.
So could it be that the reason that they didn't want to take it and they wanted to discredit it is, one, that they hated Trump so much because he was exposing more and more of the deep state, that they just, at all cost, had to change the laws, had to hide it. Okay, so this is going back to Holy Week. What happened on Holy Week when Jesus was betrayed? They did a trial in the middle of the night, which is illegal by Roman and Jewish law. They rushed it to trial. They crucified the person on the same day, which you're supposed to have a cooling off period. And they took an innocent man and rushed it through to get him to be put to death. Okay, so they violated their own laws. They violated humanity. And they killed a man who was innocent. And the Romans didn't even really want to kill him. They just said, you know, and then they took a guy who was guilty of killing people and they let him go free. So it's the complete disorder and misorder of justice, mm-hmm. which can become, that can be, feel very dark. I mean, when you look at that, and that's happening in our government, it can make it seem really dark. But here's the thing with the gospel story, is that Satan believed by killing Jesus, he won his greatest triumph. But reality, he got his greatest defeat in that.
Yeah. And that is so God. I mean, if you look at just throughout the scriptures, I mean, you had Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, it got as bad as him getting thrown in because he made a stand for God.
Right.
Meshach, Radshach, and Abednego, right? Those guys, he's, you know, Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, I want you, when you hear the harp and the trumpet playing, I want you to bow down to this great, big, huge idol. And they wouldn't, and everyone else is bowed. And they were warned, and next thing you know, they're thrown into a furnace. God actually let the heat get so hot that they were actually thrown in the furnace, not like, I'll save you a week before. And so it was hot.
Well, and the furnace was so hot. The furnace was so hot that the people that threw them in the furnace got killed.
Yeah.
And they didn't get killed. And here's the key. This is what good men and good women do. They said, we're not going to bow the knee to you, Nebuchadnezzar. And our God is able to save us. But if not, we still will not bow. This is the type of men and women that made America what it is. We will give our lives for the sake of truth and righteousness and for the sake of God and country. And we will not bow to Hitler. We will not bow. We will stand up. This is what this country needs. This is what this state needs, is men and women who say, you know what? I'm going to do what's right, even if it hurts me, because God is able to save me. But even if he doesn't, I'm still going to do what's right.
Amen. That's right. Yeah. We need more like that. And that's what Jack Maxey's been saying. He's just like, you know, he's being followed by black sedans, and, you know, he has friends warning him, calling on the hour, are you still alive? You know, and he says, I don't care anymore. This is, you know, the truth has to come out.
Well, and part of this betrayal is the truth is that the Biden family aggressively leveraged the Biden family name, Joe Biden, to make millions of dollars from foreign entities, even though some were from communist-controlled countries like China. And the evidence is overwhelming that much of the money given to Hunter was passed on to the Biden family, including Joe Biden. He was part of the money trail. He was part of the information. And we started with the Tucker Carlson story about the lockdown in Shanghai. Well, the problem is that same communist China party that is doing to their people in Shanghai is possibly in bed and in partnership with our president.
Well, and the thing is that our president, we had a call we had to take in a second, our president actually said, well, China's handled that really well. Maybe we should become more like China. He's literally said that from the podium. Yeah. We should consider becoming, they're more efficient than we are. So literally he's saying we should become like China. We are starving 25 million people in the buildings right now. What happened to when Schindler's List came out and everybody was saying in the Nazi Holocaust of the Jews, never again. And yet, right now, as we stand here and talk, our government is doing it again or allowing it again.
Yeah.
These kind of persecutions that took place in Nazi Holocaust and to the Jews is happening to the people in China. It's happening around the world.
They are violating the Nuremberg Code right now.
Yeah, and at very least, we should call for an investigation. We're not saying what is true, what is false. We want to see an investigation, and we want to find out what is actually happening at the highest level in our country.
Yeah, let's take
a
call.
Okay, we got a call. The caller is David. David, you're on the air.
Welcome, David.
Hi, you guys are anti-Semites, and I'll tell you why.
Go for it.
I find it ironic. I find it ironic because you talk so much about anti-Semitism and Nazism, and you make facile comparisons to the Holocaust, as if such comparisons can hold up to the light of day. But I'm going to tell you, when you talk about the hegemonic, the theoretically hegemonic Rothschild bank, when you talk about George Soros as a force for evil, these things reveal you to be the obvious anti-Semites that you are. Mm. And as anti-Semites and purported Christians, you ought to realize that Jesus was a Jew.
Amen.
He was a rabbi. The Last Supper was a Passover Seder.
Yes.
And he did not reject the ways of Judaism, and he would not accept your facile comparisons of, I mean, You're actually comparing the trials and tribulations of Donald Trump to the trials and tribulations of Jesus? That's outrageous. That's ridiculous.
No, that's not the comparison we were making, I think, David. I think we were saying that the American people have been betrayed, not Donald Trump.
I don't think Donald Trump's name was mentioned until
not
David
even once.
Brought it up
you brought it up,
time.
Buddy.
Yeah, and to talk about, you know, George Soros and stuff like that, and anti-Semite. You know, Semite is a Shemite, right? And so that's where that actually comes from. If you do research of the background of Soros and stuff, you know, a Khazarian and stuff has nothing to do. If you look at the 1984 Jewish almanac, it says that the people of Israel are completely different than today's modern-day Jews. They don't have an ounce of Abraham's blood in them. And so that's from a Jewish almanac, 1984. Look it up, okay? So when I make some comparisons, it doesn't mean I'm anti-Jewish or anti-Semite.
That's a false statement.
Well, I'm taking it from that. If I ask the average...
Well, you can take anything from one source and paint it as a fact, just like you take that stuff from the filmmaker last week. You were talking about a filmmaker as if he was a legitimate news source. Oliver Stone makes movies. He's not a legitimate media source, yet you're relying upon him as having such credibility that you based your entire program on his work.
Can
we get back to the anti-Semite? Because, David, bless you, bro. I am not anti-Semitic. I believe
you absolutely are.
Okay, well, you didn't prove your case one iota, bro. So I don't know how you can say I'm anti-Semitic.
Well, you know, last week's
guest. Do you believe that there's a hegemonic Rothschild banking system that controls the world's finances?
What does that have to do with being anti-Semitic?
That's an anti-Semitic belief. That's putting blame on the Jews for something that's not the Jews'
fault. I'm not blaming the Jews, dude.
I'm not blaming the Jews. The Jews are victims most of the time.
I'm upset with the CIA, who are Americans, who have done evil on behalf of America. I'm calling it like I see it. If you do evil, I'm going to call you out on it, no matter what background you come from.
Yeah.
Hey, how is the Rothschild family in and of itself more evil than any other than any other banking family.
Why don't you read the history of the Rothschilds, how they came to power, how they actually bought out England and overtook them through deception of the Battle of Waterloo. You know, they owned the mail system.
There are lots of things I can read. They aren't necessarily true. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, that's something I can read, but that's not true.
You don't know. That's in the British Museum. It's in the British Museum. It has some possible credibility. So you can't say 100% that you're correct on that, but it is worth looking at, and it's worth looking at history, saying, wow, all these protocols that were well over 100 years ago, like own the press, own the media, and all these things, they seem to be coming quite true, like right on clockwork. So whether it's false or not, the claims of the learned elders of Zion actually are coming true, just like clockwork. And David, I think we're going down too many rabbit holes. I don't want to spend the rest of the night.
Yeah, we're not here to just argue with you.
Well, last week's guest, so I do want to close
with
that.
Oh, he talked to Lopatonic, yeah.
Yeah, Lopatonic.
Yeah, you mentioned
that.
Now,
he was the one that actually made the movie himself, and he was the one, and then Oliver Stone came along and said, hey, you got way too much information. Let me step in and help, and so they redid a lot of it. So it wasn't Oliver Stone's brainchild, actually. It was our guest's brainchild.
Igor.
He's the one.
Igor
is the one who actually
Who was a rocket scientist. Where's his expertise as a historian, as a political analyst, if he's a rocket scientist?
Well, he's lived in Ukraine and Russia. He's more of an expert than you are, so he's like...
And more than me. I didn't know much about Ukraine, and he's not the only one I've listened to either. I mean, I've listened to a number of journalists inside and outside. I mean, they've got French journalists right now, and then Laura Logan. I mean, there's plenty of... So it's good to listen to both sides and then start to weigh it out, and that's kind of what we're trying to do. I'm not saying I understand that whole conflict 100%. But
well,
I appreciate
I think
your call.
Too, yeah, thank you for calling,
Let
too.
Me,
but
Can I ask one thing really quickly before you cut me off?
Sure, so
You were talking about how the nationalists, the Ukrainian nationalists, were Nazis. They're white, they're Christian, and they're apparently, according to you, they're Nazis. You're white and you're nationalists. How are you different? How is your brand of nationalism less corrosive?
No, we're not talking about the public. We're talking about the Azov battalion who comes from the Nazi background, and it's a military regime there. So it certainly isn't the normal.
You're talking about the evils of nationalism.
You are like taking something out of context and telling us what we've said, and you're not even restating it clearly, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that's like saying conservative, or if you're right wing, you must be like Adolf Hitler, you know, a Nazi, because Nazis are right wing. You cannot make those correlations. There's, like you said last
overly
week, there's different elements of gray.
Simplistic.
And you can
overly
go
simplistic.
Too far.
You're being overly simplistic.
Well, I think, too, if you disagree with someone who's Jewish or you find fault with them, that doesn't make you an anti-Semitic.
Or if you disagree with someone who's Christian, which I do. Disagree with lots of people who say they're Christians because they don't really follow Christ. And I disagree with them.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like if you're in a garage, you're probably not a car.
That's right.
McDonald's, you're not a burger.
Or Keith Green used to say, McDonald's and a hamburger.
All right, hey, David, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man. It's good to have a little lively debate.
Absolutely.
Can count
and
on
and
you.
That, our phone lines are open, so 479-1080, 479-1080. Please call. We've got another 10 minutes. So where are we going with this?
Well, you know, another thing that I thought was this week was that came out, probably actually last week, that was a betrayal of the American people, is I am for Black Lives, and they absolutely do matter. But I'm not for the leaders of Black Lives Matter taking money that was donated to help the plight of people in our country and buying a $6 million mansion with it. Mm-hmm. And then they apologized, not for buying the mansion, but for getting caught that they bought the mansion. We are apologizing for the narrative that can really be damaging. So they weren't actually apologizing for the misuse of funds that people gave to help Black Lives Matter. They were apologizing that they got caught buying a $6 million mansion with it.
And True Colors come out.
That's a betrayal of the American people. It's a betrayal of goodwill. Because I know people that gave to Black Lives Matter and that went to to put people. See, this is the problem. This is the betrayal of the American people. Now, this is not a Donald Trump thing. But when Donald Trump did get nominated, or when he did get elected, and he stood in the Capitol building, and all the people behind him, he stood out there, and he gave his inauguration, and he said, "These people behind me have been sending your children to war and have been enriching themselves on the backs of the deaths of your own children, and they've been enriching themselves, and you have paid the cost, and it stops with me." That I can get behind, because that's what the Ukraine laptop. The laptop from hell is telling us, is proven that the people who've been, like Biden has been in office for 46 years, and he has enriched himself and made himself very wealthy, like Pelosi and Schumer and all of them, and Democrats and Republicans too. This is the part that people need to stand up and say, this needs to stop. Mm-hmm. Get it. Go into office, serve the public for 8 years, and get out like George Washington did. You know, don't stay there your entire life and enrich yourself. Get out, go back into business, do something productive for the American people. I mean, George Washington went back and made whiskey, okay? And he made himself wealthy in private enterprise, not pretending to be for the people and then betraying them. That's what's going on.
You lose contact. You lose touch with the reality, I think, if you're just in politics.
Yeah, I think another betrayal. There's a new documentary coming out called Watch the Water that interviews Dr. Artis, who has been a leading source of information on COVID and where it's come from, and also in the vaccine and his study on remdesivir. And I don't know,
freaked me out. I couldn't stop thinking about it all day after seeing that. I saw it.
Tell us about what struck you, Ron.
Oh. Well, what he found was that all the symptoms that were deadly symptoms with COVID are the exact symptoms you find when you get bit by a rattlesnake or a viper or a cobra.
Well, specifically a cobra and a crate snake.
Yeah, crate snake, which is a viper, another name for viper, a Chinese crate snake, And so that was like, okay, that's weird. You know, it's just kind of wacky. But then all of a sudden you start finding all these research facilities with COVID, and they're all saying the same thing. And then they're taking blood from people that died with COVID, and they're saying, and I can't remember the word. It starts with a P. It's snake pep. It's not a pathogen, but snake.
The antivenom?
Yeah, but no, the thing that's in you. Well, anyway, okay. I was going to save it for next week.
So
but
monoclonal antibodies, have a horse get bit by a serpent, and then they take the blood from the horse and the monoclonal antibodies that give the humans and actually stops them from dying from a snake bite.
Yes.
And it's also the same thing that stops you from dying from COVID-19.
COVID-19.
And the other things that have been used successfully to stop you from dying from a snake bite: hydrochloroquine, ivermectin, zinc, and all of these things that are quercetin, vitamin C. These are the things I've been taking for the last year.
Budesonide. Nebulized. And then corticosteroids.
So all the things that cure COVID-19... are used for snake bites. So then what did he do? He started researching because a doctor had sent him a text message and it said, if you got bit by a snake, wouldn't you take anti-venom?
Yeah.
And then
why would he
send me that? So he starts researching and he finds out that there were studies done in Wuhan, studies done in France and in one other country where they figured out that the actual genetic makeup of the Wuhan disease is from a serpent, not from a bat.
That's right. And they had three possibilities. One was a bat, a serpent, and a penguin.
Penguin?
Penguin or something like that, yeah. But the serpent was
like
the top
penguin
one. I know, that's what I thought when I first heard. But the snake was the top one.
Yeah.
And somehow the bat soup won out, you know?
Yeah.
Well, actually the guy, was it Bing Louie?
L-U-I.
You know, he found that connection. He was ready to bust it, and he got shot ten times.
He was seven
in the chest, three in the head.
And he was going to release this information.
He was
a Chinese guy. Chinese scientist.
Yeah, good man. You know, trying to expose the truth. There are good people everywhere.
Yeah, somebody else got bit by a viper. So, you know, we don't want to be fear mongers. And so we've got a God who does heal.
Yes.
And remember the story in the book of Acts that Paul was gathering wood and he got bit by a viper and he shook it off in the fire and they kept looking at him, waiting for him to drop dead.
Yeah, that's right, and
that's the God we serve, right? The God we serve says you will be bit by, you can pick up serpents and be bit and you will not die. You'll drink deadly poison, you will not die. That's the end of Mark.
That's right.
So we believe that God is bigger than whatever you're facing, that you don't need to give into fear. And we actually it's been proven that fear actually damages your immune system, so don't give into fear. And it looks like we have a call, so we have 5 minutes left. Let's take this call.
Okay.
Go for it.
We got one more call. Let me set that up real quick. Herb, you're on the air.
Welcome, Herb.
Hello, people. I really love your program. You've got some really good points of view, and you handled that guy who was calling you names with grace and fairness.
Oh, we love them all.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks, Herb.
Thank you, Herb.
I think the animal was the pangolin.
Yeah, the pangolin.
Thank you. Thank you, Herb. You're on top of it. Did you watch that at all?
Pardon?
Did you watch that movie, Watch the Water, or you just happen to know that?
That was back in spring of 2020.
Oh, you're on top of it.
I was an animal science major, and I have no idea what a pangolin is. What is a pangolin?
Neither do I, but...
Go for it. What do you want to say?
I don't call myself a Christian, but I follow the ways of Jesus as much as I can, you know. He said, a new law I give you to love each other. And for me, that pretty much says it all, because if we don't love and love God, because without love, there is nothing. And you guys really bring that out, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Herb.
Thank you, Herb.
Yeah.
Well, you know that, I think you can't go wrong with Jesus, you know. Jesus, I've heard, is Jesus is perfect doctrine. You know, you
remember
can have all these. Yeah, go on.
The Doobie Brothers?
Yeah.
Jesus is just all right with me.
Now what have you started?
Yes. All right, Herb. Well, I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Yeah. You know, Herb said, you know, you can't go wrong with Jesus. And he said, it's the greatest command. And Jesus said, you know, they came to him and said, Jesus, what's the greatest command? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets are summarized in those two things. So if we could just love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, make him Lord of our lives, and love our neighbor as ourselves, we're fulfilling the law of God.
Absolutely.
It's powerful.
You know, I do take comfort. I know that we had a lot of Debbie Downers tonight, you know. Mm-hmm. This is betrayal. God will not betray us, you know. And even the story when we talked about Jesus dying and stuff, and maybe for some people, they don't even believe the story. But it did happen. I mean, if you look at history, you have a Roman historians, you have Jewish historians, and you have Christian historians, all three confirming that there was a man named Christ, Christos, or Jesus, or Yeshua, and he did exist, and he had followers. And, you know, people have tried to say that he didn't really die, and it's like, well, he was crucified by Romans, okay, and he was, you know, and he was found dead, stabbed in the side. There obviously was some evidence. Romans know how to execute. It's kind of what they do for a living.
They know how to kill people.
Yeah, and so some people thought, hey, they hallucinated. But you can't have a group hallucination. So if they all saw him at the same time, it's not going to happen that way, you know? And what are some of the other arguments that...
I think that you see that Jesus was the greatest force on the planet for good that we've ever seen. So you also see it in the power of what we've seen take place. Now, people have hijacked Jesus and tried to mean, you know, Christianity, but this is the key. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said this, no man comes to the Father but by me. He said that indeed you will die in your sin if you do not believe I'm the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sin. So we want to encourage you this Holy Week, consider Jesus, read the story.
Absolutely.
Because he loves you and he died for you and he resurrected. And we're going to celebrate that on Sunday.
That's right. He wins.
Regardless of what Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, we know Jesus was crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected. And he changed the world.
That's right. The Bear Radio on KSCO, 1080 on AM dial.
God bless y'all.
Oh.